te vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Today we are going to read Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, Text 16. Nahyasya karhichid raja, puman veda viditsata, yad vijigyasaya yukta, muyanti kavayopihi. O king, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Even the great philosophers inquire exhaustively. They are bewildered. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The bewilderment of Maharaj Yudhisthira over his past sinful acts and the resultant sufferings, etc., is completely negated by the great authority Bhishma, one of the 12 authorized persons. Bhishma wanted to impress upon Maharaj Yudhisthira that since time immemorial, no one, including such demigods as Shiva and Brahma, could ascertain the real plan of the Lord. So what can we understand about it? It is useless also to inquire about it. Even the exhaustive philosophical inquiries of sages cannot ascertain the plan of the Lord. The best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. The sufferings of the Pandavas were never due to their past deeds. The Lord had to execute the plan of establishing the kingdom of virtue, and therefore his own devotees suffered temporarily in order to establish the conquest of virtue. Bhishmadev was certainly satisfied by seeing the triumph of virtue, and he was glad to see King Yudhisthira on the throne, although he himself fought against him. Even a great fighter like Bhishma could not win the battle of Kurukshetra, because the Lord wanted to show that vice cannot conquer virtue, regardless of who tries to execute it. Bhishmadev was a great devotee of the Lord, but he chose to fight against the Pandavas by the will of the Lord, because the Lord wanted to show that a fighter like Bhishma cannot win on the wrong side. Nahyasya karhichid rajan, puman veda viditsitam, yadvijigyasaya yukta, muyanti kavayopihi. O king, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. Nama om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Navane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastritya Dejitani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, so we've reached a very important point in this discussion by Bhishma Dev, that he's really clarifying his intention and his idea as, well, expressed indirectly, you could say. In the previous verses we read of the last number of days, he was saying how the Pandavas and Queen Kunti underwent difficulty by the will of Providence. So, that's one way he put it. And sometimes we hear similar perspectives, that something has happened in the life of somebody by the will of Providence. And then the last few verses, I think 2 or 3, we heard how the Pandavas and Queen Kunti went through all these different things because of time. You cannot control time, and like this. So the influence of inevitable time is just something, just really, which human beings, it's all beyond the scope of the intelligence of human beings to understand. So we talked about that the last couple of days, that it is a fact that time is just most extraordinary. It is even superior to the modes of material nature. And generally, on the material level, we understand everything is governed by the modes of material nature. But now here's another factor, time, which is not under the influence of the modes, but rather, and we described the other day how at the beginning of the creation time, Kala Shakti, the potency of time, is transmitted via the glance of Mahavishnu, transmitted into the material nature, and then it contacts the three modes, which, since the previous distraction of the universe of the material world, those three modes were inactive. They were just suspended. So time contacts the three modes, and the three modes become active again. Goodness, passion, ignorance, these forces become active again within the material world. So time is certainly most extraordinary. And even we mentioned how Prabhupada had referred to Chanakya Pandit, who said that time is so valuable, you cannot buy back even 1 second for all the money, just for everything. Whereas you can buy so many things. And even if you lose different things, you can buy them back. It may be possible. But time you can't buy back. But Krishna does. Time is under Krishna's control. So, therefore, Bijandev says here, O King Maharaj Yudhisthira, no one can know the plan of the Lord. Because whatever way you put it, providence, time, or even whatever different factors are involved in any extraordinary situation, but still, the plan of the Lord is the ultimate factor and the governing factor. And Prabhupada would say, I have my plan, you have your plan, but Krishna has his plan. So, we can understand which of those plans will be the plan that comes through. Yes, so, the Supreme Personality of Godhead his intellect, his abilities, they're so, on one hand, so extraordinary. On another hand, they're so multifarious that it quickly goes beyond the capacity of the ordinary living entity to really understand what is he doing? What is his idea, actually? We mentioned yesterday, about the Katyayani Vrata of the gopis. They wanted Krishna as their husband, and they were just totally determined. So they executed that Vrata, strict vow, for 1 month. And Krishna, as the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, he decided, all right, I will fulfill your desires. So he did. But not in the way they expected. He stole their clothes. Well, I assume they never imagined that he might do it that way. It's sort of a simple example, but it's definitely an example that the plan of the Lord bewilders people. Yes. And there are many different examples. Another simple, relatively simple example is there in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Maharaj Yudhisthira wanted or was meant to be installed as the emperor, so they were to have the Rajasuya sacrifice, which is part of the process for someone being installed as the emperor. So Krishna was invited, Krishna was happy to come, but it was not possible for the emperor to be installed if there was still any king who was not willing to accept his authority. So, as it happened, Jarasandha was such a king. He was not willing to accept the authority of Maharaj Yudhisthira. So he had to be pacified or killed, even made agreeable or killed. There was a plan to do that. On the other hand, Krishna wanted to show the qualification of his devotee, Uddhava. So Krishna arranged that Uddhava bring up this point about Jarasandha needing to be defeated. So in that way, Uddhava became glorified. On another hand, there are many hands here. On another hand, so many princesses had been imprisoned by Jarasandha, and they were appealing to Krishna to free them. So there's all these different factors interwoven here. And Krishna, to install Maharaj Yudhisthira, to glorify Uddhava, to get rid of Jarasandha, and so on and so forth, to free the princesses, whatever else. For all these different reasons, Krishna arranged that Bhima fight with Jarasandha. So, that's another factor, the glorification. having it all done by Bhima. So the plan of the Lord, and this is relatively simple, this is really quite simple. You know, here we are in the material world, and not even directly by his plan, but indirectly, Yamaraj is making many arrangements. Prabhupada makes the point that many people, there's a whole lot of people, a few hundred people, they are all due to die at the same time, in the same way, very violently. But they're all different individuals, from different places, different backgrounds. They don't know each other. Maybe none of them know each other at all. But somehow, by the arrangement of the Lord, all these people are brought together and put on an airplane flight. And there may be, you know, 200-300 people on a big airplane. And then suddenly the plane crashes. And they all die at the same instant, in the same way, very violently. Amazing. And of course, each one of those people had different reasons for being on the airplane. They've got different ideas, plans, reasons. But somehow or other, it's all brought to that point that even though they have all these different personal reasons for being, for going to wherever they wanted to go, but it's all brought to the point that their reasons for going coincide at the same time. It's amazing. Maybe one wanted to go the day before, or one wanted to go the day after, but no. All the different circumstances involved in them wanting to go somewhere, it all worked out. So they all wanted to go to their different places at the same time. It's interesting, isn't it? But then, I don't know if it was Jayapataka Maharaj, but it was some senior devotee many years ago. He was in France, in Paris, and he was due to fly out somewhere. And so they got in the car, off they went to the airport, they're on the road, suddenly, big traffic jam. And how to get there, and what to do, and that panicking, you know, we're going to miss the flight, and it's going to be expensive, and inconvenient, and they eventually got to the airport, and half the airport had been blown up. You know, right at the time he should have been there to take the flight. So you see, it's just the plan of the Lord. And you can imagine that he was then, and they were all very thankful that there was a big traffic jam. But you see how it worked. You know, the big traffic jam means dozens or hundreds even of people. They're all brought together in the big traffic jam. It's not that every day there's a big traffic jam, but that day all the people were brought together and there's this big traffic jam. And in one sense, just so the devotee could miss the flight or be delayed. How can we understand the plan of the Lord? And we might think that, would the Lord do that? Create a traffic jam with a few hundred people and everything, you know, people get delayed for work and people get upset and so many problems caused by the traffic jam just so one devotee doesn't get blown up. Would Krishna do that? Yes. Why not? And then it's not a big deal. You know, if you're the manager at a company and you're managing 100 people, to get all the 100 people to do the same thing at the same time, that may be, I mean, like something unusual. That may be a bit challenging. But for Krishna, it's just nothing. So, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. Not just that they don't quite understand and, you know, couldn't quite get it, but they are just bewildered. It's just too much altogether. So this is Krishna. Krishna's very complex personality. You know, we're all slightly complex personalities. But we're not that complex, actually, compared to Krishna. Like, after you've been living with a person for some years, you sort of learn the person and learn what they're going to do and how they'll do it and how to get them to do things and so on. But you can't learn Krishna like that. And Sanatana Goswami explains, it's mentioned in a purport in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, that Krishna has so many qualities. Nectar of Devotion says 64, although they are like 64 headings of types of qualities. And there's so many subcategories. In fact, there's an infinite number. But it's just to give us an idea, you get these general groups of qualities. But Sanatana Goswami makes the point that this is where, actually, it's the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, where Lord Brahma, having stolen the cowherd boys and calves, Krishna reveals to him that he, Krishna, is actually the Supreme Lord, and Lord Brahma, who had forgotten that, becomes bewildered. So Lord Brahma glorifies Krishna in the 14th chapter there, giving different glorifications, different prayers. One thing he says is, you have more qualities, first of all, than than the number of grains of sand on the beaches. No, first of all, there's number of stars. Then you have more qualities than the number of grains of sand. How many grains of sand on the beach at Flick and Flack? Or Velma. That's a lot. And what about in the Sahara Desert? It's really a lot. And then he says, and you have more qualities than there are atoms in the universe. Just when you thought, you know, you had a big number with the number of grains of sand, then he said, you've got more qualities than the number of atoms. And one of the acharyas makes the point that actually Lord Brahma knows how many atoms there are. What sort of brain is that? So, but he says, no, you have more qualities. So anyway, Sanatana Goswami says that Krishna has so many qualities, and along with everything, along with all the sort of general qualities, the 64 and their subcategories, Krishna has, for every one of us, a particular quality he only reveals to us. and not the next one, and not anyone else. So there's a particular quality which you're aware of, but he's not, and neither am I, neither is anybody else. So there's a particular, special, just amazing quality for each one of us. And there's billions and trillions and quintillions and zillions of living entities. You can't even begin to express it. So, this is giving you just a little hint of the complexity of Krishna. So as Prabhupada says here, because we cannot really ascertain the plan of the Lord and feel like, okay, Krishna, now I understand what you're doing. Prabhupada says, the best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. Just be humble. Say, yes, Krishna, thank you. Hare Krishna, what can I do for you? As Prabhupada said about his relationship with his spiritual master, Prabhupada said, I only ever asked him one question. How can I serve you? That was all. That's nice. So, yes. So, Bhishma. And in the purport here, Prabhupada's explaining different things which Krishna wanted to come out from the battle. That vice cannot conquer virtue. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that, anyway, they're basically the same point. That if one maintains the proper standards of dharma, one will be protected. Vice cannot be conquered by virtue. That, well, we mentioned also other days, Krishna wanted to show how a devotee can deal with difficulty, with great difficulty, through the Pandavas, just losing everything. So that's another lesson. And then another lesson, Prabhupada mentions, the Lord wanted to show that a fighter like Bhishma cannot win on the wrong side. Stay on the right side. Yeah. And there are many other things Krishna wanted to show through the battle of Kurukshetra. But these are some prominent ones. And rather than try to figure Krishna out, rather we should just be humble and serve him and glorify him. And Prabhupada said that there are some questions, that there are questions we can get answers for in Krishna consciousness. Very good. But there's some questions that are just beyond our capacity to really understand. And Prabhupada said, for those types of questions, the proper answer is Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Like a devotee asked Prabhupada that Sanatana Goswami says in Hari Bhakti Vilas that on Dwadasi, the day after Ekadasi, you must not pick tulsi leaves. And Devotee asked Prabhupada, why? What is it? What is it about Dwadasi? Hoping for some answer about, like, you know, that some universal conditions are there, so it's not good to pick Tulsi. Prabhupada said, because Sanatan Goswami said so. Or in other words, Hare Krishna, it's okay, don't worry about it too much. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.